This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. The good thing is it's November, and my favorite holiday is coming up, Thanksgiving. So that's a good thing. So we had a pretty big election. It may not be over. It's pretty much over, but it's not over. So we'll have to be patient, and we'll have to wait and see how things finally resolve themselves. And the uncertainty affects the market. It goes up and could still go down. So we don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty, but I think the market is convinced about the election. But I don't like to count my chickens before the hatch. There's no definitive answer yet. But you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared for volatility. Learn how to compensate it. I do think no matter who gets elected, and I've said this before to you on air, there's going to be a big spending package. How big, I don't know. But either party, whoever wins, there's going to be a spending package, and that's going to be good for the market. Now that we have a vaccine that's 90% effective, I think that's very positive for the market. That doesn't mean the market won't be volatile, down and up. But it certainly looks like it's going to be more up volatility than down. And it does seem to see a big rotation in the market. So we'll talk about that before the end of the hour. We really will. So how'd the market do today? Well, the Dow was up 263 points, but the NASDAQ was down 160. The S&P was down 5. That's part of the rotation that's going on, and I think it's all about the vaccine that's been the catalyst, I think. And again, as I said, we'll get into some more detail during the show. Okay, 888-99-CHART is our number. This is a live show. We're open Monday through Friday, and you can call right now. So we're ready to hear your questions, anything financial. So let's go ahead and get right to the first caller.
Hi, this is Matt in San Jose. I just had a question on your guys' opinion regarding Meritage Homes, MTH, and just your overall outlook on home builders coming into the future next couple years. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Well, we do know that interest rates are very, 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 mortgage rates, very, 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 very low. We know that. And many of these home builders have already rallied pretty strongly. I mean, Meritage was at the bottom of the market. It was like near 26, 27 a share. Today it's 90. 90. Got up to 115 and bounced down. In October it was at its high. 52-week high, much higher than the previous high before COVID, which is around 75. So you've already had a very strong run based on low interest rates and a recovering economy. So the trick is, if you look at it going forward, it's still not expensive based on its earnings. 2020, they're supposed to earn $10.37. Next year, 2021, $12.83. And the stock is 90. So you got about a what, 8 PE? But remember, the five-year range, though, is 3 to 14. So it's right in the middle of its range. So you can't say it's really cheap. It's just very reasonable at this point. Return on equity is 14%. Cash flow is very strong. Sales have up 21% in the most recent quarter, just reported. 19% the quarter before that. 27% the quarter before that. So last year, a year ago, it was shrinking 5.1% per quarter. So it's doing very, very well. But I think a lot of the movement's already built into the price. Even though it's come down on recently, that came down 25 points on 115. So we're talking it's come down, 13, 14%? It's taking a risk. It's not cheap, not expensive. But how long will this bull market be in the housing market? I think you might do better looking for things that are based on a recovering COVID economy. In other words, those things that are really beat up by COVID might be a better place to put your money. strong companies that appear very underpriced. I think that might be a better bet. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and there's no denying it. The calendar does not lie. We are moving quickly through the fourth quarter, and an end of the year is upon us. The holiday season is here. My favorite time of year, by the way. Now, we can all probably do a better job of managing risks. You balance your assets, your portfolios, and it requires a lot of information and good, effective strategies. Do you have a strategy for your money? Do you? Well, maybe I can help you. So, give me a call if you want to talk about that. We should talk about anything financial. Your participation is always the major part of the mix. We're taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
The fourth quarter is moving fast. There's an autumn chill in the air and uncertainty in the markets. So you've got finance and investment questions for Steve and Justin. And the phone lines never close. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. My focus point today concerns a story, how to invest in a post-vaccine world after Pfizer's announcement. Now, do you know what Pfizer's announcement was? They have a vaccine, 90% effective. So 9 out of 10 times, you're not going to get COVID. So we've talked about this. I told you there was going to be a vaccine. I told you it would probably come out before the end of the year. Well, obviously, Pfizer's going to is asking for permission before the end of the month to have an emergency usage of their vaccine. They're already making 20-30 million vaccines. It's apparently two shots. So I don't know why that is. I noticed that shingles has a two-shot vaccine now, not just the once. I don't know why that is, but I'm not smart enough. But that's what we're dealing with. So this analyst thinks the outlook for improving global economy is pretty strong. And he thinks value stocks may do better than growth stocks. I think he's right. You know, I've talked about that too. Justin and I both talked to you about it. Growth stocks, the big tech stocks are going to notice what they've done. I mean, the Dow was up 263. The NASDAQ is down 160. Okay, what does that tell you? Tells you that the big tech stocks aren't rallying. What's rallying? If you look, you'll see that a lot of those COVID recovery stocks are rallying. We have a vaccine. The world has a vaccine. That means places like Las Vegas is going to boom again. That means airlines is going to finally get full again. That means, think about all those hotels out there in the United States. They're traveling. You know, on and on. Vaccine COVID recovery plays. So that's what we'll talk about. We'll talk about a little bit more. Other topics I want to discuss. Do you know that AT&T and Verizon, big companies? Well, Verizon has sold $12 billion in bonds. Why? And things to not put your money in. Okay, things you don't put in your will. And things people waste money on. That's why it's confusing the two. Not as sharp as I used to be, I guess. Things people waste money on. So those are the three things I want to discuss. But what do you want to talk about? You're the one that keeps this show going, not me. So let's keep moving straight back to our InvestTalk voice bank. This came in earlier at 888-99-CHART.
Hello there. My name is Ethan Anderson. I'm a fellow listener of your program, really enjoying it. I actually just started a couple weeks ago. Kind of a general vague question for you guys. Give a little background on myself. I am 18. I'm waiting to go into the Air Force, and I'm trying to, you know, as a young man, I'm trying to figure things out in my life. And one thing that I've had this itch lately is trying to gauge how the future is going to outlook, especially in my, you know, in these next 4 years. I have the feeling that something is stirring up the pot in the stock market. I wish that, you know, when the actual points went down, when it went down to, I believe, 19 points this in 2020 in March, I wish I took advantage of that, but I didn't. And I'm just kind of wondering if you guys could give me some pointers or tips how to approach these next 4 years, how to approach, you know, someone in my situation who doesn't have, you know, a couple $100,000 to play around with. You know, in my predicament, I was wondering maybe if you could perhaps give me an idea as to how I would approach things and most of all, how I could set myself up to be really financially successful in the future. I appreciate your time and hope to speak to you soon.
Well, any young person, especially at 18, what you do is you start putting money in the market in index fund using the ETF, exchange-traded fund, maybe the SPY, that's a symbol for the S&P 500, and you just keep putting money in it consistently over time. You will do very, very well. The problem that people can't do, they can't stay the course. They can't, like, put $100 in every month. I'm not even talking about big bucks, notice, $100. Put $100 in every month. No matter what, or 500, whatever you have that you consistently put money in the market over time will do very, very well. Forget about who's present, who's not. Forget about the politics of the thing. The stock market moves up on an average 9, 10% every year over the last 100 and something years. Now, I can't say every year. That's incorrect. On average. Some years it's down, some years it's up. You know, some years it's down big, some years it's up big. You just don't know, but you got to be consistent. If I can drum that into very young people's heads, that would be great. And use an IRA to do it with. Therefore, there's no tax consequences on your gains. Anyways, that's what I would suggest. Okay, 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Gene in San Diego. Gene.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Hi, Steve. So my question was on QRVO, Corvo. I just wanted to know if this is a good company to own and
okay.
And what's a good entry point for this stock?
Okay, this is Corvo Inc. out of Greensboro, North Carolina. It's a $16 billion company, so it's not small. It's large. Markets RF, radio frequency integrated circuits used in mobile devices, base stations, wireless networks, and metering devices. It's made money consistently over the years. It's grown very consistently. In recent couple of years, it's growing faster. This year, it's going to grow 35% earnings. Next year, 12. It's $140 stock, going to make $9.55. Okay? So it's what? About a 15 PE, 16 PE? And that's right in the middle of its range. Return on equity 17%. Growth this year is much better than last year. The most recent quarter, they had a very blowout sales growth, 31% sales growth in the last quarter. And, of course, that now is reflected in the stock price because it moved from $70 at the bottom of the COVID crisis in March to $140. Now, it got up to $155 just yesterday. So you're buying a stock that's already really strongly. You have to realize that means you're chasing performance. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means you have to understand that that's what you're doing. So as long as it's on this uptrend, you can stay with it. If you want to buy it, just know you're taking a little bit more risk than you are in normally because it's at value and it has made a long run. Of course, it deserved to make a run because of the sales. They don't have a lot of debt. So it's a well-run company. Because the earnings go up every year. So it's a good stock to own. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. From time to time, I think it's important to remind listeners that here on Invest Talk and at my company, KPP Financial, based in Irvine, California, we operate with a philosophy of independent thinking and shared success. And this is very good for our listeners and clients. That means we give unbiased guidance. That means I practice parallel investing, meaning I buy the same thing for myself as my clients, the same price, same percentages when I'm buying. So I really do that. So we'll talk about it more. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
It's an Invest Talk Tuesday. Steve Peasley is here today taking your calls live. How's your portfolio doing? Are you prepared for continuing market volatility? You've got questions, so call Investtalk. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Love to hear from you. Give me a call. Andrew in San Diego wants to talk about retirement, I think. How you doing, Andrew?
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
I'm going well. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, so I have a question. Because I haven't taken any vacation this year, I have a decent amount of PTO hours that I need to cash out by the end of the year.
Okay.
And I'm considering putting it into one of my retirement accounts. The question is, it's going to be about maybe $10,000 or so.
Uh-huh.
Should I just put all of it into my 401k, defer the taxes, or should I take a portion and lump sum it into my Roth IRA? Or should I just take it out, pay taxes, and put it into my taxable brokerage account?
Well, if you put it in your Roth IRA, you're going to be paying taxes on it. It's only a regular IRA you won't be paying taxes on.
Right,
you know
right.
That, right? So let me ask you a question about, do you need that tax write-off to put it in a regular IRA and deduct $10,000 from your adjusted gross income to pay taxes on? I mean, that's a key question in my mind. Do I want to pay less taxes on this money? You know, not pay any taxes on this money until I retire. If you don't have that worry, then I'd probably max out my Roth. Okay, if you don't worry about the tax write-off this year. Because a Roth will grow tax-free, you know, anything from now on. So that's the benefit of that. You can't put more than, what, $6,500? Is that what it is? Not sure of the exact amount.
$6,000, I think.
$6,000? You can't put more than $6,000. So the other $4,000, you can put in your 401k. You see,
okay. Would you consider just lump sum at the beginning of the year on January 1st, or should I, you know, dollar cost average over a few months or through the year?
Well, I want to say I'd rather get it in sooner than later. Why? Because I know we're going to have a recovery from the COVID. I know we're going to have a spending package, and that's going to be very, very good for the market this year. But, you know, investors always look forward, right? So will they bump up the market before January 1st to such a high degree that, you know, it's kind of hard to tell you that right this minute. But I really kind of want to tell you to put it in quickly. Right? That's normally I would say dollar cost average, but the timing is different because of what's happening out there with the vaccine and everything. I think buying some very good recovery stocks, value stocks, I think are going to work very well this year. Good questions, Brian. Andrew, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, on the focus point here, everybody, we were talking about Pfizer's Pfizer igniting the markets and how to invest in a post-vaccine world. As I said, I think, you know, that, okay, there's nothing wrong with Amazon, Google, and, you know, those stocks, the FANG stocks that did very well. But they've had a huge run over recent years. And generally speaking, at some point, the market's going to rotate. And I think this COVID vaccine is going to push that rotation to value stocks. So that's where I think you need to concentrate. Doesn't mean to get rid of your Amazon, your Googles. Just means that maybe you need to reposition some of your assets into some recovery stocks. Okay. What oil, big oil. There you go. Vegas kind of stocks, hotels, big chains. I'm not talking about high risk stuff. We've made up a list of short list of what we think are recovery stocks that we are considering for our clients. And that's the kind of thing. But we've already been buying value. So I think that's where we want to be. Let's go to Brian in San Mateo. How you doing, Brian? How's it going out there in San Mateo?
It's a little chilly today, Steve, but it's sunny. Hey, Steve,
okay.
I was wondering about Rattler. It's a oil services company, I believe, but the dividend looks good, and I wanted to know what your thoughts are as far as its sustainability and looking forward.
Okay. Okay, Rattler. It's a $1 billion company, so it's a small cap company. Owns, operates, develops, and acquires midstream infrastructure assets. Okay, so it's in out of Midland, Texas. It's a year ago, they were growing well over 100% a quarter, their sales. Well over 100. March dropped down from 143 down to 36% growth. June quarter, it shrank 21%. The September quarter, it shrank 16%. And we all know why. COVID. Driving oil prices way down, right? We know that. The stock is $7.63. It's going to make $1.15 next year. This is a value stock. This is the kind of stocks I'm talking about. Before COVID, it was selling at $14, $15 a share. Right now, it's $7.63. So I like it right here. Go for it. Okay? Okay, every day on InvestTalk, we look at various stocks and evaluate their share prices. You know we do, because we talk about it every day. And new investors often call the program and ask about mechanisms involved that setting prices. So as we go to break, here's my trivia question. The all world market is made up of millions of investors and traders who may have different ideas about the value of a specific stock. So just how are share prices set? I'll have the answers after the break. But for now, my phone lines are open, and I encourage you to give me a call. 888-99-CHART.
Look at the calendar. We are into November and on our way to Thanksgiving and then Christmas. Of course, the holidays may look a little different this year. But now you've got finance and investment questions. Steve and Justin welcome your calls. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. Ask any financial question. I'll deal with it, and we'll talk about it, and I'll get you an answer, okay? Okay, we had a trivia question before the break, and the question was, the overall market's made up of millions of investors, right? So my trivia questions are, and all these investors have different ideas of what the value of a stock is, right? So how are share prices?
If growing an e-commerce business is your focus, you will definitely need a platform that's focused on growth. So I am going to share some information with you right now. Knowing this will empower you and allow you to better position your brand, products, and services. In fact, I think you will be relieved to learn that there is a superior marketing platform built for you and ready now. I'm talking about Klaviyo, spelled K-L-A-V-I-Y-O. Klaviyo is the ultimate e-commerce marketing platform for online brands of all kinds and all sizes. Whether you're just getting started or running a well-known brand, it gives you everything you need to send memorable branded emails, text messages, and more, so you can build strong relationships that keep your customers coming back. With flexible automations, powerful insights, and super precise targeting, Klaviyo is a faster way to turn great ideas into great customer experiences. That's why it's trusted by more than 40,000 brands. In fact, on average, Klaviyo customers see a 41% increase in overall revenue within 5 months. Klaviyo scales with you so you never have to switch. They support everything from garage startups to iconic billion-dollar brands. Are you motivated? Want to learn more about how you can grow your brand with Klaviyo? It's easy. Visit klaviyo.com/grow to get started with a free trial today. That's klaviyo.com/grow. Klaviyo.
Set. How are they really set? Now, we're not talking about what the value of a stock is, but how the price actually is set. So first of all, a simple definition. A stock exchange provides a platform where such trading can be easily conducted by matching buyers and sellers of stocks. So remember, we're talking about how is a price set. Well, it's a very simple thing. It's set by buyers and sellers of stocks. And a stock exchange is only the platform to make that happen. Okay, so it is an auction, or an open cry auction. with buyers and sellers agreeing to a price. There is a bid and there is an offer. So the auction price, buyers and sellers, right? So the trade only happens when someone bids for a price of a stock and someone's offering the stock itself matches. When their price matches, that's when a trade happens. Okay, we often call that, so it's the ask of the price and someone willing to pay that price. That's when the trade occurs. Okay, remember, the market is made of millions of investors, millions of traders buying and selling consistently. Many thousands of transactions that occur. Remember, I talk about what's the average daily volume of something every so often. In the last stock we talked about, Rattler Midstream, it does an average of 1.9 million trades of shares traded, 1.9 million shares traded a day. 1.9. That's just one stock. One. Okay, so that's how prices are set. Simple bid and ask. That's it. So what if someone wants to sell a stock, but there's no buyers on the other side? What happens to the stock? Well, the person really wants to sell it. He's got to keep lowering his price until he gets someone to buy it, right? That's as simple as that. How low can it go? As low as he's willing to let it go. Or there's no trade happening. Interesting, huh? What are the two main types of stocks? A little bonus question. Types of stocks. Two main types of stocks, common and preferred. The term equities is synonymous with common shares because their combined market value and trading in volumes are many magnitudes larger than that of preferred shares. Preferred shares act something like a bond. The main distinction between the two is that common shares usually carry voting rights that enable the common shares to have a say in corporate meetings, while preferred shares generally do not offer voting rights. And as I said, they generally act like a bond. They have a set yield to them, like a bond does. Anyways, let's go to Stephen in Washington State. Stephen.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Nice. Okay, yeah, I had a question about Hexo, H-E-X-O. It's a consumer package cannabis company. I've seen it had a slight spark once the election actually went through, and it's kind of the same thing like with Aurora, even though that's down right now. I kind of see that, you know, there's still potential to get in there and possibly – you know, make a good move on longevity and possibly maybe a good option.
Well, one of the reasons these marijuana stocks or whatever, cannabis stocks made a jump is that six more states legalized it, and that kind of helped bump these stocks up. Hexo Corporation is a very small company, $268 million. A Canadian company that offers cannabis, peppermint oil, sublinguino sprays, marijuana powder, dried flowers. Sales are growing very fast, but sales are pretty small still, though. Last quarter, $27 million worth of sales, but that was 70% more than the year ago. The quarter before that was 70% growth. The quarter before that, 27% growth. But it's not making any money. It's one of my beefs with stocks is you got to make money. They're going to lose 6 cents this year, but it's a lot better than last year where it lost 76 cents, and they're going to lose a penny next year. So we might get some earnings in 2023 from this company. It's a 78 cent stock. So it's a very, very tiny stock. I would be concerned. Cash flow is -$0.64. This is a super speculative play. So only put a little bit of money in this, Steve. Don't put a lot of money in it because these kinds of stocks can go out of business in a heartbeat. Or they can double or triple. A year ago, they were selling for like $2.40 or so. So you can make a killing or you can lose all your money. It's a fairly new company. It came out in at the end of 2018. beginning of 2019. So this is one you're rolling your dice and hope that it'll start make money, and it's going in the right direction. Let's put it that way. Steven, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART. So Verizon sold $12 billion in bonds, or is in the process of selling $12 billion in bonds. Do they need the money? Why are they doing that? And Verizon is not alone. Many big companies, many big companies will be rushing to sell bonds. Why would they do that? One of the reasons, they know that the COVID vaccine is going to push a good economic event in the next year and the year before. The news is strong. So they know that things are going to look better. They know that interest rates are extremely low. And for Verizon, they said they're going to use this money to pay back or pay down old debt that's much more costly, and for spectrum cost. Now, what is the average rate that they're going to have to pay, Verizon? How much are they going to have to pay in yield on these bonds? They think it's going to be about 1.3%. So how, I mean, that's super cheap, super cheap. They're probably going to pay off old bonds of 3%, 4%, and then have new bonds at 1.3. It's smart. Debt is cheap. Money is cheap. Right? That's why they're going to do it. So they're going to incur more and more debt. I'm talking about not just Verizon, all kinds of companies. Why are they going to sell bonds? Why are they going to incur that debt? For expansion purposes, for paying off old debt that's cost more costly, those kinds of things. Makes perfect sense. Okay, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what do you think? Okay, but before I take, let's go ahead and go to another call. Let's go to Anthony in the Bay Area. How you doing, Anthony?
Good, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, and I appreciate the call.
I got a question about diversification. The company I used to work for, I have a lot of stock within that company. No longer work there, but I'm curious about what is your opinion on how to diversify that moving forward? Because at this point, my portfolio is heavily weighted toward that one single stock, so any kind of downturn or uptick affects it greatly. Okay.
Right.
Do you recommend a sale and diversify, but at the same time, thinking about the tax implications that come at the end of the year, maybe reinvesting in something else like real estate? I don't know.
Very, very familiar with this problem. Think about if you were Bill Gates or any of those big guys that have the huge companies and all their wealth is tied into their company, and you want to diversify. It's difficult. It's difficult. So you have the same problem, probably on a smaller scale, but you have the exact same problem. So how do they do it? Well, most of the time they put themselves on a program of selling their shares. They'll sell shares every quarter. Okay, I'm going to sell shares this quarter, sell shares this quarter, and they'd be consistent on getting, because they want to diversify their portfolio. So what they do is they constantly sell over a period of time, just like dollar cost averaging, but this is dollar cost selling. And of course, you got to keep your eye on, well, what is the tax burden? And do you have tax capital, because there are capital gains taxes you're going to have to pay. And just remember, long-term capital gains is 20%. It's very possible that that could change. It could go up. I don't think it's going to go down. But I don't think you'd need to worry about it too much at this point, but just think in those terms. I would suggest that you start selling back if you're way overloaded in one stock, just so you can buy a more diversified portfolio of stocks. And as I said, this is a good time to move into value stocks away from the growth stock, because they're cheap, and we got a COVID vaccine already going to be approved. And we have numerous other treatments and vaccines coming pretty quickly. That means, everybody's so worried about, we're going to have a tough winter with all the increases in numbers. And that's true. But I think we're going to have a great looking spring. So, I wouldn't That's what I would do, and that's what I would suggest. You just got to be very careful and understanding how much tax burden you are incurring. Make sure you set the money aside to pay those capital gains. Anthony, appreciate the call. Very good question. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and I really do encourage you to explore the financial investment information we have posted on our website. That's investtalk.com. You can learn more about the various investment strategies and opportunities we offer at KPP Financial. For example, check out the Disciplined Equity Program. It offers focused growth for maximum returns. It's a all-stock program. Consistent exposure to the equity market. Consistent. And high-quality names, companies. We never do anything. You wouldn't recognize most of the companies we buy. If you're serious about achieving financial freedom, you'll want to reach out to me or Justin Klein at KPP Financial in Irvine, California. Learn more right now. Go to investtalk.com. Appreciate that. And now I'm taking your questions live, 888-99-CHARGE.
This is Invest Talk, made possible by KPP Financial, where principals and Invest Talk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are independent financial advisors. For clients, they are fiduciaries. Steve and Justin have a duty and a commitment to always place the interests of their clients ahead of the firm. This is different from the way many other organizations operate. And one way you can realize the benefit of an association with KPP Financial is to know that KPP practices parallel investing. This means that the personal investment accounts of KPP principals participate with client investments at equal prices and percentages. It's an important difference. You can learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Or reach out to Steve Peasley and Justin Klein by emailing or calling their Irvine, California office. The Invest Talk radio and podcast continues now. The phone lines are open. Call with questions, 888-99-CHART.
Okay, I got an email question from Mark. I won't give out last names. Mark in New Jersey, and he's 57 years old. He's looking at retirement, and, you know, he gave me a little bit of information about where he is. He has no debt, which I really like. No debt, but his goal is to die broke. That's pretty hard to do because you don't know when you're going to die. But he was looking at a reverse mortgage when he's old enough. And is that a good thing to do? A reverse mortgage, okay, that's when you have pretty much paid off your house or most of it, and you're starting to run out of money, and you can use the equity in your house. A reverse mortgage, everybody, is where the bank loans you the money, right, to do whatever you want with it, using the house as equity. And they usually don't loan more than 50% of value. The things that make it interesting is that you never have to pay the loan back while you're alive. And the other one is you got while you're alive living in the house. Because what they do is when you die, it's like a mortgage. You got to pay off, or your estate has to pay it off, that mortgage. Okay? Now, I don't want to say bad things. I just say that some of the concerns I have is reverse mortgages are expensive upfront costs. They take it out of the loan, but they're kind of expensive on the upfront side. Because remember, the bank never gets a cent until you pass away. So they want to have some money up front, so they take a point or two up front. But there's nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong using it, as long as you plan on dying or stay in your house till you die. Because then if you move, you got to pay off the reverse mortgage. If you have to go into a home, permanent home, they're going to eventually make you sell that property to pay them back. So those are the down things. So it's not a cheap loan. But it's not a bad way to go. And I don't want to be ultra negative on it. It's not. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here: to help you achieve financial freedom. And our goal will continue after this break. So get your questions in now, 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk. Please tell your friends and family members that they can download our weekday podcast for free anytime at InvestTalk.com or iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And when you download and listen, please be sure to rate our podcasts. Our anytime listener line is open, and Steve and Justin are taking your calls now. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, let's talk to Hephendra in Fremont. How you doing? You want to talk about Berkshire Hathaway?
Yes, but let me give you the context on the question, Steve.
Sure.
This is for my investing for my 16-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, has been pretty excited about the recent run-up of some of these stocks, and he's curious on investing. So I actually got him started on something more broad-based, which is the something like a VTI, which is the entire S&P 500. I told him just
stay put,
just buy one of this every month and just keep doing it for a long time. But then I did some research around from 1985 to now, 2020, 35 years. If you had invested, let's say, $1 million in Berkshire Hathaway stock, that $1 million in 35 years would have become $90 million. And let's say if you invested the same million in Apple, that $1 million became $140 million. So I'm just trying to wrestle with this idea of a long-term investing for my son for 30-plus years as far as what is the right approach for him in investing-wise.
Well, you just named, like, two of the best investments in the last 30 years. See, so, you know, the trick is now pick one today. Going forward, what's going to be the next 35 years would be the best investment. That's a lot harder than looking back and saying, oh, only if I would have bought Apple or Microsoft or Intel or, you know, Berkshire Hathaway back then. Problem is future is very different than the past. You can't, you just don't know. Now Berkshire Hathaway, and that's Warren Buffett's company, and the symbol is BRKA. A meaning A shares, and they're selling for $343,000 a share right now. The B shares are probably a lot easier to buy because they're much less expensive, but still Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire Hathaway has made all that performance all those years since 1959 or so because of Warren Buffett, the best investor that's out there. Okay, now, the problem with Warren is he's getting old. He's, you know, 75, 80 years old. I don't really remember how old he is. But he's getting up there. And can he continue to do this well? Well, he can probably, but maybe the next guy who takes over Berkshire Hathaway can't. We don't know. So there is a, if you focus your investments on just one, two, or three stocks, that is a high risk. So high risk means you might get high return, or you might lose a lot of money. So I would stick with the index for your son, but he's 16. It's kind of boring. You might want to buy something that's more exciting for him, and you know that maybe buy five or six different kinds of companies, maybe a Disney, maybe Google, maybe, you know, things that he was interested in. You know, if you want to keep him excited, buying an index is kind of boring for a 16-year-old. It really is. But even though it might be the best thing to do. But I'm trying to keep him excited and being in the market. And he needs to learn that you lose money, too. So that's not a bad thing. Okay? Appreciate the call. Good call. Things not to put in your will. Okay? Real quick. Trust property. If you have property named in the trust, you don't put that in the will. That's why you have a trust. You name the beneficiaries of that property in the trust. Don't put jointly owned property in a trust, because when you pass away, it will go to the survivor of that property. For instance, you have property in you and your wife's name as joint tenants, or you and your brother's name, or somebody else's name, partner's name. It will all go to them. Don't put anything that names a beneficiary, like an IRA. When you pass away, you name someone to get that that IRA, the beneficiary. Don't put those things in your will. Don't need to. Okay? Got a deal? I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. I will return tomorrow. In the meantime, please tell your friends and family members that they can choose from over 100 archived InvestTalk podcasts as free downloads. You can do it at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and InvestTalk.com. And remember to review and rate our podcast. We appreciate that. Pass the word. We also stream the program live each weekday at the 4 o'clock hour Pacific time on InvestTalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.